Okay, well, let's look at our question for this morning. Question 71 of our catechism reads, what are the outward means whereby the Holy Spirit communicates to us the benefits of redemption? The answer is, the outward and ordinary means whereby the Holy Spirit communicates to us the benefits of Christ's redemption are the word by which souls are begotten to spiritual life, baptism, the Lord's Supper, prayer and meditation, by all which believers are further edified in their most holy faith. And in a few moments I'll ask Joe if you'll read Acts 2:41-42. And Dennis, if you'll read James 1 and verse 18. James chapter 1 and verse 18. So what are the outward means whereby the Holy Spirit communicates to us the benefits of redemption? And I want to look at this question under five headings. First of all, the nature of the means whereby the Holy Spirit communicates to us the benefits of redemption. And there are two. There's two, as our forefathers would have called, the means of grace. There's two aspects to this. First of all, they are outward means, and then they are ordinary. An outward means things which we can see, things which we can examine, things which we can touch, and by obvious inference, it's the opposite of inward. There is inward workings from God to us, which we can't see. And I suppose the best illustration of this is, and it fits into the answer, the very illustration of physical life. We know what outward means produce physical life, but still, even though science knows a lot, and even though science can go right to the very microscopic levels of how life is begun, they still can't explain what it is that makes life, and what it is even that ends life, they still don't fully understand. So when we talk about the outward means, we talk about all those things which are listed here, which are used by the Holy Spirit to communicate to us the benefits of redemption. But also, very importantly, the word ordinary is used here. Now, ordinary means everything that's not extraordinary or miraculous. In other words, God uses ordinary means to communicate to us the benefits of Christ's redemption. And they're listed here for us: the word, baptism, the Lord's Supper, prayer and meditation. In other words, we don't have to get to some special level of spirituality in order to benefit from Christ's redemption. We don't have to have some sort of experience that brings us somewhere else other than where we are. There's ordinary means, outward and ordinary means whereby, and this brings us to our second point, the person who communicates these benefits. The outward and ordinary means whereby the Holy Spirit communicates to us the benefits of Christ's redemption. Now, it's the Holy Spirit as opposed to the preacher, as opposed to the pastor. Yes, God uses the preacher, God uses the pastor, but it's the Holy Spirit who actually communicates. We can give the outward call. We can give the word physically. We can give the word out by our mouth and into your ear. But the Lord can only actually communicate that word in an effectual way. That's why we talk about in theology the outward call of the gospel and the effectual or the inner call of the gospel. The man can give the outward call, but only God can give the inward call. But then thirdly, what is it that is communicated to us? That says it here. The benefits of Christ's redemption. John Murray, Professor John Murray, wrote a book many years ago called Redemption Accomplished and Applied. That's a lovely title for the book. Because they're the two things which are essential for us. Yes, Christ accomplished the sacrifice necessary on the cross. That's the accomplishment of it. But then there's the application of it. And the application of that redemption is by the Holy Spirit through the Word, through baptism, through the Lord's Supper, prayer and meditation. In other words, it's no good for me to say, Christ died, all is well. I need to know that the benefits of that redemption have been applied to me. And how are they applied to me? Through the Word, baptism, the Lord's Supper, prayer and meditation upon the Word. You see, there can be this sort of attitude in my mind whereby I say, well, Christianity is a great religion to think about and to, you know, have some sort of distant belief in. But I don't really see it applied to me. The benefits of Christ's redemption. There's no good if I... Let me give you this illustration, and probably it's been given in many different ways. If I have a big bunch of money in the bank, you know, a big bank account, that's what I have. But if I never go and withdraw that money, it's never going to be of benefit. So it talks about here the benefits of Christ's redemption. Do I know what it is to benefit from the redemption of Christ? Or is the redemption of Christ something that I know about, something that I hear about, but I never actually benefit from it? That's an important question, isn't it? The Holy Spirit communicates to us the benefits of Christ's redemption by the Word, by baptism, the Lord's Supper, prayer and meditation. Now, we're going to just look very briefly at the rest. We have, fourthly, the singular role of the Word. The singular role of the Word and how it communicates to us the benefits of Christ's redemption. You'll notice in the answer the difference between the Word and the other means of grace. There's five means of grace listed, but the first one, the Word, has a singular role than the other four. It's the Word by which souls are begotten to spiritual life, not by the others. We're not begotten to spiritual life by baptism, or by the Lord's Supper, or by prayer, or meditation. And just as a side point, that's why it's wrong to tell an unbeliever to pray. It's wrong to tell an unbeliever to pray. You tell them to repent, and you tell them to believe. To tell an unbeliever to pray is the wrong call to make when it comes to sharing the gospel. Because, for a number of reasons, but for one is that it implies to him that he's saved by works. We're not saved by prayer. We're not saved by baptism. We're not saved by the Lord's Supper. We're not saved even by meditation. We're saved by the effectual implanting of the Word. James chapter 1 and verse 18. Thanks, Dennis. Of his own will, he has begotten us by the word of truth. That's the singular role of the word in our salvation. And we must never confuse the role of the word of God as a means of grace and the role of the other things listed in our answer. But then we have the similar role of the other means of grace. Baptism, the Lord's Supper, prayer, meditation, by all which believers are further edified in their most holy faith. So the difference between the Word and these other things listed is that the Word of God brings us to salvation. These other means of grace edify us, build us up in our salvation. Acts chapter 2, verses 41 and 42. Thanks, Joe. But the reason they continued steadfastly in those things is not because they thought by committing ourselves to these things we will get saved, but they knew that the more committed they were to these things, the more built up they would be in their most holy faith, the more edified they would be. So we meet here this morning. This is where the question has benefit to us even for application this morning. We meet here this morning as believers not because we think by meeting here, you know, we'll make our salvation sure. No. We meet here this morning to encourage ourselves, each other, to encourage each other, to build up each other, to edify each other, to pray for one another. Why? So that we might become mature in the kingdom of Christ. Just finally, I want to point out a distinction between the word mentioned there, which brings us to spiritual life or gives us spiritual life, and then meditation. Obviously, that's referring to the word as well. We don't believe in the modern idea of meditation. You know, this modern idea of meditation, which is, you know, empty your mind. That's the modern idea of meditation. Or should I say, that's the Eastern mystical idea of meditation. What do we believe meditation is? Well, meditation is quite simply taking the Word of God, reading over the passage, rereading over the passage, and spending time with the Word of God before my eyes, in my mind, and in my heart, thinking about that Word, reflecting over that Word. Literally, and it's a lovely little illustration. Cows have more. I'm not sure how many stomachs cows have.
Four.
Two, is it? Four. Okay, somewhere between two and four. Maybe it's three, I'm not sure. But anyway, but apparently chewing the cud is the idea of transferring the grass from one stomach to another and regurgitating and going down again. That's what we are meant to do. I know it's not a very pleasant illustration. But that's what we are meant to do with the Word. You see, if all we do this morning is listen to the sermon and never for the rest of the week think about it, it's not going to be a real benefit to us. So, the passage that the preacher reads out, we bring home, we maybe note out the points, we put out the outline, we maybe put a few questions down, and then we go back home, and like the Bereans, it says the Bereans, they were more noble than the Thessalonians. For they checked from the scriptures everything that Paul said to see if it was true. We are to be students of the word. And the more we study the word of God, the more benefit the word of God will have for us. Spurgeon, one of my favorite quotes from Spurgeon, is what he said, or when he said, that he loves to bathe himself in a few verses of Scripture. And he would rather bathe himself in a short few verses than to dip his fingers in many chapters. You see, sometimes as believers, we run the risk. We sort of, and I'm like this. I totally admit I'm like this by nature. You know, I might spend a day or two where I don't read the Word of God as much as I should. Then I get guilty. And I read maybe 10 chapters to sort of make up for the last 2 days where I haven't read the Word of God much. And to be honest, the reading of the 10 chapters probably does me about the same benefit as not reading for the previous 2 days, because all I've done is I've read loads to try and make up, where really what I should be doing is each day spending time in a short passage of the Word of God, reading it, rereading it, making notes. You see, if I can maybe just say this very briefly, make this a little practice. Pretend you're a preacher. This is a great way to learn. Pretend every one of us are preachers. And I'm going to take a passage, and I'm going to make an outline, and I'm going to make application, and I'm going to make illustrations, and pretend like you're going to preach to somebody else. And make a sermon out of it. That is the best way to learn. I find when I'm making sermons, by God's mercy and grace, that I learn lots. You mightn't learn too much, but I learn loads. And I find a benefit. Pretend you're somebody that's going to bring a message, and then you will learn yourself. So what are the outward means whereby the Holy Spirit communicates to us the benefits of Christ's redemption? The outward and ordinary means whereby the Holy Spirit communicates to us the benefits of Christ's redemption are the Word, by which souls are begotten to spiritual life, baptism, the Lord's Supper, prayer, meditation, by all which believers are further edified in their most holy faith.